Okay, our next presentation is daily light integral requirement of creeping bent grass putting greens determined by shade intensity and timing. Russell, Karcher, and Richardson. Travis Russell presenting.
Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Kaminsky. Again, my name is Travis Russell. I'm a second year master's student at the University of Arkansas, and today I'll be discussing determining a daily light integral requirement for a creeping bent grass putting green. So first off, I'll talk about some pertinent research information regarding creeping bent grass shade tolerance as well as daily light integrals. So first off, when talking about shade timing, Bell and Danneberger have showed that there was no turf quality differences whether applying morning or afternoon shade to creeping bent grass, but it's also been shown that afternoon shade can be detrimental to Tiff Eagle Ultra Dwarf Bermuda grasses compared to morning shade. And then many turf managers indicate that morning sun may be essential to turf grass quality, so it's not very well understood in terms of shade timing what will affect creeping bent grass the most. In terms of shade intensity, 80% shade has produced unacceptable quality with creeping bent grass greens, but there's negligible effects under just 60% shade intensity. An issue with this is that it can often be difficult for turf grass managers to really split hairs between 60 and 80% shade on their golf course sites. So that's where the daily light integral, I believe, comes into play here. The daily light integral is the cumulative total quantity of photosynthetically active radiation delivered over an entire day. It's reported in moles per meter squared per day. And it's been shown by other turf grass researchers to be a good way of coming up with an exact light requirement that you need to produce acceptable turf grass quality. And it's been shown in many turf types, but when I'm talking specifically just about putting greens, it's been determined for Tiff Eagle putting greens as well as Tiff Dwarf and Floor Dwarf. Another component to this research was seeing how the effects of two different products, a growth regulator as well as a plant colorant, may impact the daily light integral under different regimes of shade intensity and shade timings. So the first product that we evaluated was Primo Max Trinexipac Ethyl, a common growth regulator used in many agronomic programs, but has been shown to increase shade tolerance for creeping bent grass under persistent 80% shade. And then the other product being Turf Screen, a plant colorant that markets itself as the ability to increase photosynthetic processes during summer heat stress and minimize those symptoms. So like I mentioned, it's a plant colorant. It's been demonstrated to mask turf stress symptoms and also improve turf color, but it's also been shown that it doesn't necessarily increase those photosynthetic processes and does not reduce summer heat stress on creeping bent grass. So the objectives of this study were to evaluate the turf quality differences between morning and afternoon shade using various levels of shade intensity, and then to evaluate the effects of Primo Max and Turf Screen on turf quality in these shaded regimes. And then finally, to determine a daily light integral requirement to produce an acceptable quality creeping bent grass putting green. So I'll dive into the materials and methods how this trial was conducted. So this trial was conducted at the Arkansas Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Fayetteville on a Tyee creeping bent grass putting green established in 2013 and has a USGA specification root zone. Also, the trial was mowed 6 times weekly at a common putting green height for creeping bent grass, and then also nitrogen was applied every 2 weeks during the trial. This trial was conducted from May to October of 2016 and 2017, so it's literally wrapping up as we speak. And right here, these are the shade structures that we've developed at the University of Arkansas to kind of apply different shade intensities. And you can see on these the shade structure, it's elevated above the turf canopy, it's on wheels so it can be easily moved for plot maintenance or applying shade at different times of the day. And this picture on the left is a quantum light sensor that's continually measuring PAR that's connected to a data logger. If you see on the picture on the right, there's a small tan box and the data logger is enclosed in there. So there's many different, you can use many different shade cloths applying a different shade intensity and record the photosynthetically active radiation under each of them. So for this study, what we decided to do was we were going to have 4 shade intensities, 0% shade or just full sun, and then 70, 80, and 90% shade using neutral density shade cloth. And the shade was going to be applied in either the morning or the afternoon. And here's just an overhead view of these shade structures from a drone image. And I just want to really emphasize that each of these shade structures have all four shade intensity levels, but they're in a position where they're only covering plots that will receive morning shade. And then at solar noon, I'll go out and move them every day, and they're just switched like this. I apologize that it's rotated a little weird there. But you can see that it's very easy to transport these shade structures and apply different shade timings while also applying different shade intensities. And also beneath each of these shade intensity and timings, I applied Primo Max or Turf Screen, or a combination of both of those products in an untreated control. So the treatments were arranged in a split strip, randomized complete block design with three replications in a 2x4x2x2 factorial treatment design. Data was analyzed as a repeated measures ANOVA using the PROC-MIX procedure in SAS, and treatment means were separated with Fisher's protected LST. Also, in addition, estimated daily light integral requirements were analyzed using nonlinear regression analysis in GraphPad PRISM. So data collection for this trial, I collected daily light integrals, or DLI, under each shade intensity and timing using those quantum sensors that you saw earlier, as well as visual turf grass quality ratings, turf grass coverage, and clipping yield measurement. Just for the purpose of today's talk, I'll only be talking about the daily light integrals under each shade level and shade timing, as well as the visual turf grass quality ratings of each of those. So jumping into some of the results from this trial, first I want to talk just exclusively about the light that was delivered to the turf grass canopy under each of the shade treatments. And the first point that I want to make is looking at the difference between 2017 and 2016. For each shade treatment, either shade intensity or shade timing, 2017 had higher quantity DLIs compared to 2016. And this occurred, like I mentioned, in each shade intensity and timing. And the other thing that I want to point out is the differences within one shade intensity. So take this for example, 70% shade, the differences between AM and PM. AM shade consistently had higher quantities of light delivered to the turf grass surface compared to PM shade. And this wasn't just under 70% shade, it was under 80 and 90% shade. And this occurred in both 2016 and 2017. So here's the analysis of variance table for this trial. I'm going to try and break this down a little bit more for you. So each effect of this trial, as well as its interactions, are included. Also, date was added as an effect, so that makes it double as long, so to account for the repeated measures analysis. So in 2016, the results that I'll discuss further are the higher order interactions of shade by timing by date, as well as turf screen by date, and Primo Max by date. In 2017, we didn't see those higher order interactions be significant, and so I'll only be discussing the main effects of shade and Primo Max. One thing to take note of that might be a reason why those higher order interactions weren't as significant in 2016 compared to 2017 is the change in the environment during the stressful summer months for creeping bentgrass in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And on this graph, I just want to set this up for you as the monthly deviation from the 30-year average. On the x-axis, we have degrees Celsius, and at degree zero, that's going to be our 30-year average. So I've inserted a black line there. And then on the x-axis is obviously month of the trial. And what you can see in 2016 is that we had an above average temperatures for in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that could have contributed to added stress on the turf grass under these shaded environments, whereas in 2017 we have not as stressful as a summer, specifically in August, where you see that it was August being one of the typical very stressful summer months, that the temperature is much lower than average. So this picture here, if it shows up well for those in the back here, that I just want to demonstrate the effects of morning versus afternoon shade looked like in terms of turf quality. And this was taken in August 2016, so one of the most stressful parts of the summer in both summers for this trial. And what I really want to take your attention to is under this 90% shade level, while there is some a little bit of decline in the morning shade, you can see significant visual quality decline in the afternoon shaded plots. So I'm going to be walking you through this graph. This graph I'm going to set up for you is on the x-axis is going to be month of the year, and on the y-axis is turf grass quality on a 1 to 9 rating scale, with 7 equaling our minimal acceptability. And I'm going to be applying each shade intensity and timing treatment to this graph just to so you can compare that to minimal acceptability as well as full sun. When applying the set, when adding 70% shade to this graph, the open squares being AM shade and PM shade being the filled-in circles, what we see is both shade timings significantly drop below acceptable quality in late August, early September. And what's interesting to note is the significant differences that PM shade had significantly lower turf grass quality compared to AM shade. And this also occurred under 80% shade as well here. It declined the under 80% shade, the turf grass declined earlier in the trial compared to 70% shade, but you still start to see those separations of AM and PM shade. And the same thing happens under 90% shade, which you can see very early on in the trial that that turf quality drops below an acceptable level. And then about in July, we start seeing that separation where AM shade ends up having significantly higher turf grass quality compared to PM shade. And on this graph here, this is just showing the effects of turf screen and Primo Max. And this graph is across all shade intensities and all shade timings. And it's interesting to note on late rating dates in September and October, you can see that turf screen and Primo Max both kept turf grass quality above an acceptable level compared to the untreated controls. And like I mentioned, I'll only be discussing the main effects of shade and Primo Max for 2017's data. And just looking specifically at just the effect of shade, and this is across both shade timings, AM and PM, that 90% shade had significantly lower turf grass quality compared to all the other shade levels, I mean. And not only that, you can see that 90% shade dropped below an acceptable level. Now, when looking at the effect of Primo Max on the bar chart here, what you see is that Primo Max had significantly higher quality compared to the untreated control, and this is across all shade timings and shade levels. So, in this picture on the bottom left, this is actually taken in 90% PM shade, where I saw the heaviest amount of decline, and you can see the effects of Primo Max in this area. So this graph here, I'm presenting our nonlinear regression for estimating a minimum DLI for creeping bent grass. And so there's a graph for each one of the spray treatments, and on the y-axis is just turf grass quality, again, on the 1 to 9 scale, and I've inserted a line at 7 for minimal acceptability. And so where that intersects with the line of fit, we can estimate that that's our minimum DLI requirement. So for 2016, what we saw for the control is just if a 30.8 moles per meter squared per day was what we observed to be the minimum DLI requirement. And the plus minus symbol on each of these spray treatments indicates 95% confidence intervals. So when you look at while all these spray treatments did lower the DLI requirement, it wasn't a significant effect on lowering of the DLI requirement compared to the control. Saw the same thing in 2017, very similar results regardless of, even though we didn't see as much turf grass decline compared to 2016. Again, the control ended up having very similar DLI numbers at 29.2 moles per meter squared per day. And what you see is that the same thing happened again with spray treatment, is that while it did lower the DLI requirement, it wasn't statistically or significantly different from the control. So conclusions for this trial is that the effect of shade can vary from year to year based on environmental conditions. PM shade lowered turf quality compared to AM shade in 2016. And then Primo Max and turf screen had improved turf quality during those late summer months, but wasn't significant at reducing the minimum DLI. And then after two years, results based off visual quality ratings indicate a minimum DLI requirement of 30 moles per meter squared per day. So I want to thank the USGA as well as the Arkansas Division of Ag for helping fund this research, and then everyone on the turf team who helped me with this trial. Questions? Do we have time or not?
We're going to have to hold questions for this until after all the students go, but let's thank Travis.